Blog Talk Radio.
This is Mark Grace, and you're listening to Ready to Unload with Cal and Sandpete.
Everybody, welcome to Ready to Unload with Cal and Sandpete, episode number 1116. It is Thursday night, June the 23rd, 2011, and we are coming to you live from Dumpling Sound Studios 2 in Bayside. I am, and then of course my co-host. Let's bring him in. Let's just do this. It's been 14 days since we've had a show. I feel like so much time has gone by. Let's just do this. What are we even waiting for? Let's just do this. We have so much sports to talk about tonight. My God. Sports. Talking. Here he is. My co-host. My partner in crime. My partner in rhyme. My partner in the sublime. Mr. Brian Calneva Calpino Caliente. The ultimate radio introduction, Brian Calvi. Hey, Brian.
Hi, Steve.
Hello.
How are you?
Hey, Uncle Father. That's a little arrested development for you there. Bri coming to us live from Comac, Dumpling Sound Studios, Trey.
Yeah, it's like the annex.
It is like it. It's not even like the annex. It is the annex.
It actually is an annex, yeah.
That's correct. How are you, Brian?
I'm good. We've been away for a week. It feels like a lot longer. You're right.
Yeah, well, we had your lovely daughter's birthday in there last week.
Yes.
And then I was away in Texas. We'll talk about that later. We'll talk about Texas, yo. Texas. Yeah, talk about Texas, yo. That doesn't work.
No.
If you hear 37 y'alls in there tonight, though, from me, I've been in Texas.
You just got back, too, right?
I just got back last night, Cal. I just returned.
Yeah, well.
And a lot has gone on in the last 14 days. The last time we did the show, we did an episode 2 weeks ago with Kevin Greenstein, who was great, talking about the NHL Stanley Cup, which went to a Game 7.
It did.
And the Boston Bruins won it on the road, Cal.
Yeah. And then all hell broke loose after that.
That's correct. There was rioting in the streets of Vancouver, which Kevin sort of warned us about.
He did. He gave us the heads up that, you know, stay away from the Vancouver area, win or lose.
Which was, we were really in no danger of being around or in the Vancouver area.
No, luckily we're about as geographically far away from Vancouver as possible.
That's correct. Now, what's going on with you, buddy? How was your 2 weeks here?
Good, good. Busy, you know, getting a lot of stuff done.
Well, the kids are out of school, yeah?
Tomorrow. The kids are out tomorrow, but we've had some graduations this week. So that's been fun.
Now, are they graduations or are they stepping ups?
Well, they're stepping ups.
Stepping outs?
But they portend to be graduations. I mean, the whole pomp and circumstance is there.
So there's pomp and circumstance is what you're saying.
Yeah, a little bit more circumstance than pomp.
A little less on the pomp, a little more on the circumstance. That makes sense.
But a lot of singing, a lot of... celebrating.
Right.
A lot of singing. Just, you know, every time you turn around, it's another song.
And you sound like you're angry about this.
No, not at all. It's quite fun.
What are some of these songs that, you know, an 8 and a 6-year-old sing? 8 and 6?
Five.
8 and 5, that's right.
Yeah, 5. The 5-year-old, their big closing number was...
What's they close with?
They closed with...
Smoke on the Water.
No, not Smoke on the Water. They did that in the middle.
That's right. That's not a closer, really, anyway.
No. They did Stairway, so everybody could go to the bathroom.
That's right.
like that. No, they closed with a song where they talk about going off to kindergarten.
Ah.
Literally, the song is Off We Go to Kindergarten. Off We Go to Kindergarten, like that. A little bit like that.
It's appropriate, then.
Really appropriate.
So it's topical.
Since that's where they're going.
I feel like this is a good time to bring in our producer. The producer of the Ready to Unload with Cal and Sam Pete program.
I bet he can weigh in on this.
I have no doubt he can weigh in on this. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome in. We're honored to once again have our producer, the man with 37 names, the Bishop, Pop Culture PJ. Hi, Peach. Peach? Oh, no. Have we lost PJ? Where is he?
No, he's there.
Where is he? PJ! we're experimenting with the new studio
hey,
thing.
What did I say? What did I say about this thing that I was doing here?
PJ, we should tell the people that we're experimenting. BlogTalkRadio.com, the home of Ready to Unload with Cal and Sampete. One of the home.
Experimenting all day.
Right. They have this new thing called the studio. It's replacing the switchboard. It's very exciting stuff.
You know what the best part about it is? There's a red on-air light on.
I do like that.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I agree.
That tells everybody in the room behind me to be quiet.
The cat, in other words.
Meow.
Right. The cat being the most egregious of the... PJ, how are you? We were just talking about kindergarten step-ups. Kindergarten. Where am
I?
Got
me crying. I was just thinking about the kids singing. I start crying.
Yeah. It really, wasn't a dry eye in the gym.
Well,
my son graduated from kindergarten, and they also brought out a lot of songs.
Right.
Yeah.
Including You've Got a Friend in Me from Toy Story.
Classic.
You've got a friend in me. That's, you know,
come on.
They're singing that to each other, and you get a little teary-eyed. And then they all joined hands, and they sang Friends Forever.
Wow.
From Saved
by
the Bell?
Not a dry eye.
Was Jesse Spano there?
Yes.
Not that one.
Was she singing, what was the song with the Speed episode?
I'm so excited.
I'm so excited, that's right. I'm so excited.
I'm so scared.
Yes. We will be reenacting Saved by the Bell a little later on. So
PJ knows exactly what I'm talking about.
He does. You know from the stepping ups.
It's very hard to look at your kids directly when they're achieving milestones, I have found. I'm a bit of I am what my mother calls a toasted marshmallow, which is you're crusty on the outside, but you're a big softy in the middle.
Wow, she is wise.
She is ridiculously wise. And it's very hard when you're sitting there and the kid's going, you know. I'm a big kid now, and you go, yeah, you're a big kid. Oh, God.
Slobbery mess. That's how I am when I watch, like, a Jet game, like a big Jet playoff game.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Like
I got that way at the at the Olympics. I cry at some gold medal ceremonies. Not going to lie.
No doubt. Oh, this is – speaking of this, guys, real quick, before we get to the big unload, which is going to be shockingly about the Metropolitans. So I'm on the flight out to Austin, and I got to say, my son logged about 850,000 miles. He's got stickers all over him, like the suitcases, you know what I mean? Like,
get him a Capital One card.
Right, Austin, Marble Falls, Houston, Conroe. But anyway, on the plane out there, Miracle, I was on JetBlue, and Miracle is on. Right? So, now whose dogs are those?
Oh, that's my dog. Hold on a second. Go on.
Do they not see the red on-air light?
They know. Dogs are colorblind, PJ. You know that.
Is your dog chasing PJ's cat?
There's two of them. Yeah. They're just freaking out.
So, I will try.
Put it up in the paw print font. Come on. On air. Woof, woof.
I will try to get through this story.
The paw print font.
With Snoopy and... Odie over there causing a ruckus.
I'm going to go to mute while you do this. Go ahead.
All right. Great. Thanks. I'm on JetBlue, and they got the TVs there, and Miracle
comes. Anywhere again? I'm sorry. Where are you going?
The first stop on the Texas tour was Austin.
Okay, I'm sorry. Go on.
Right. So, Miracle comes on, and I pick it up right, literally right as he's about to make the big speech. Right before the game against the Soviets. Oh my goodness! You want to talk about not a dry eye in the house?
Yeah.
So my wife's sitting next to me. She's got the little guy on her lap. He's sleeping because he's a world class traveler. Apparently, at 6 months old. He's like out, like a light. Like the minute the plane takes off, he's like, "Good night, everybody. Thanks. This is going to be great."
Somebody was passing him the little bottles. Watch out.
Yeah, he was. He's like, "Let's light this candlestick. Let's go." So I'm watching, and I am almost bawling. I am almost bawling as he's giving the speech. And it's those moments where your wife looks at you and is like, "Really, really? This is what are you really?" Is Miracle making you cry right now?
That's right.
After the movie came out?
No, that's right. There's great truth.
That's right.
To be found in those speeches.
Yep. And that is a great
crossroads of Shakespeare and the blue collar.
Wow.
Right there.
Okay, good night, everybody. I don't think we can possibly stop comparing Miracle to Shakespeare.
It's a crossroads.
Cal,
you know,
that,
I think that okay. works for Kurt Russell.
Snake.
Snake Plissken? Absolutely. I say whatever you want, guys. He's killer in that role. He is unbelievable in that movie.
I can't say a bad thing about that movie.
No, it's just so good. So
Which
good.
Which one? The first one or the second one? New York or L.A.?
No, Miracle. Miracle.
Oh, Miracle. Okay.
Well, welcome to the show, everybody, now that we've got... Peej, we'll talk to you in a little bit, okay, bud?
Okay.
Our producer, PJ, of the pop culture variety.
Or Overboard.
You want to talk about guilty pleasure movies.
That's at the top of the list.
You said, moms don't leave. Okay. Just going to show that I've watched that movie. And I'm ashamed. Anyway, Cal, I had the trip. You had the kids.
It's been crazy.
It's been nutty. There's been a lot of singing, apparently. Let's get to the meat and potatoes of Ready to Unload with Cal and Sam Pete. If you want to call in, the number to call is 424-220-1817. So, Cal, whilst I was away in Tejas, oh, boy, with the Metropolitans. Let me just get this out of the way, and then we can go ahead and talk about the Yankees. We can talk about the rest of baseball, the Indians coming back down to earth. That AL Central is now like a really great race.
You know, and I want to get to Jim Riggleman, too. I don't know if you've heard what happened with Jim Riggleman.
Yeah, Jim Riggleman stepping down today as manager of the Nats after their greatest run in franchise history. They've won 9 out of 10. They're a game over 500, and he decides today he's stepping down.
See ya, guys.
Yeah. That's two managers in the NL East in a week.
Mm-hmm.
And Jack McKeon takes over in Florida for who is the manager there?
Edwin Gonzalez. Edwin Rodriguez, I'm sorry.
Luongo. I'm sorry, who?
Edwin what? Luongo.
Who? No.
Edwin Rodriguez.
Edwin Hernandez.
Edwin Rodriguez.
There's a gentleman named Edwin who resigned.
Edwin Rodriguez.
The Marlins. One more time.
Edward Herman is the gentleman that resigned.
Right. Robert Rodriguez,
right.
Director, auteur.
All right. So there were two managers that resigned. But go back. Get it off your
In
chest.
A week. In a week.
In a week. Well, he was fired.
No, he stepped down. Edwin
Ed Begley Jr. He was fired.
He stepped down.
I thought he was fired.
No, he resigned.
Mm. Mm.
They lost 20 of 23.
You're right. He under duress, I would imagine.
Yes, he was going to get fired. Jeffrey Loria is trying to do his imitation of South Beach George Steinbrenner. Had a long time. He ran Girardi out of that town. And now, he has 80-year-old Jack McKeon taking over the team.
Do you think the scene played out where Jeffrey Loria fired him and he says, "You can't fire me, I quit," and then walked out?
I hope so.
I wonder if that's ever happened.
I hope that's the way it played out.
While the Marlins looked on in amazement.
Right, like the entire team who was in the locker room. Well, you know what? You can't fire me because I quit. And Hanley Ramirez, I can't believe he's doing this.
And he just walked out.
Right. Hanley Ramirez turns to Gabby Sanchez. I cannot believe this.
Was that the second Marlin you could think of, Gabby Sanchez?
That was the second Marlin that came to head. Came to my mind. I was going to go Dan Uggla. He's in Atlanta.
He's not a Marlin.
He is in Atlanta killing fantasy teams as we speak.
So tell me about what's on your mind with the Mets.
Here's the thing, Cal. I went away for a couple of days. I was out of town. I was away from the press. I was away from the maddening New York media that drives me crazy. Go nuts.
Would you say you were offline?
I didn't go off the grid.
Okay.
I took the netbook with me. I listened to a couple of games.
Okay.
On my MLB package. I don't have the MLB package video online. I have the audio.
How's that?
It's $20 for the year.
Yeah, but how are broadcasters around the country? Do you find them to be good? Or
I listen to the FAN broadcast.
Oh, okay. You don't explore other teams' broadcasts then?
Only if they're playing the Dodgers.
So you can hear Vin Scully.
So I can hear Vin Scully. That's okay. Correct. Or I switch it when Wayne Hagen is on.
Right. You go to the visiting team broadcast.
If it's a Wayne Hagen inning, I can switch it to the other team. So anyway, just going off the grid, but not really off the grid, but getting away from Twitter and stuff like that. I came back to the Ike Davis news yesterday.
Right.
For those of you who don't know, Ike Davis has been on the DL since May 10th. They don't know what's wrong with him. He goes to the hospital for special surgery. They completely give him a Fakakta diagnosis, apparently. Mm-hmm. Now he's got strained ligaments. He might need microfracture surgery. He may need microcosms of surgery. This was for a sprained ankle that was going to keep him out 2 days.
Right. He's going to return the next day, actually.
Right. And while I was away, the blown save by K-Rod against the Braves, when they were two outs away from a sweep at Turner Field against the Braves and the balk-off loss, they were two outs away from a sweep at Turner Field, getting a game over 500. And it was like, honestly, being off the grid, but just seeing it a little bit, Cal, there was a little moratorium on the horribleness. And then that game kicked it all back into gear, culminating in yesterday's, holy cow, the Mets, Ike Davis put the boot on, and Ike Davis says that's probably what caused the ligament damage.
Only the Mets.
But
it
seemed like up until that, because I left on, what I leave, on Thursday. I left on Thursday.
You left the day of the loss, yeah.
And I that was the opportunity for them to all of a sudden get over 500. The days leading up to that, they were about to take a sweep in Turner Field, which they've never done. They're 50 games under 500 in Turner Field, or 40 games under 500.
They have swept them there, though.
Yeah, but when? When's the last time?
No, it was more recent than I thought, too. I think it was 2007 they swept them there.
But the Braves were red hot, though, Cal. The Braves,
well, you're right. They're 50 games under 500 there.
Yeah, they're 40 or 50 games. Anyway, it seemed like the negativity was about to stop a little bit, and we weren't going to get articles like trade Reyes to the Yankees. And then
you know where Beltran would be perfect? The Phillies.
Yeah, the Phillies. That was the last one I saw.
Perfect fit for them.
Right. And then all of a sudden, it started all over again when they blew that game. And you know what? Out of all the nonsense that's been written in the Daily News, and I listed I was talking to a buddy of mine who's a big Met fan, and I listed out the six or seven things that the Daily News has done in succession, and six of the seven have been written by Yankee writers. Okay, the only one I sort of agree with is K-Rod to the Yankees. Like, that's the only one I wouldn't really be upset if it happened.
That's true, I agree with that.
Because, and it was the only one that sort of made sense, even though the Mets should get more than a marginal prospect. But K-Rod doesn't get his option, because he doesn't get the games finished, because Mariano Rivera is there. He's a perfect eighth-inning guy. He builds, he goes and gets a closer deal next year. The Mets don't have to pay that option year. That was the only one I could see, but you know, you had a Met beat writer writing that Carlos Beltran would be perfect for the Phillies.
Right.
So anyway, I wanted to get off my chest that they were two outs away, I think, from really, like, turning a negativity tide, like turning a corner.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, all this Ike Davis stuff still would have happened, mm-hmm. but they were two outs away from getting a game over 500, sweeping the Braves at home, all of a sudden getting within, you know, three of the wild card, having gone 7-3 on a really difficult road trip. All this was about to happen, and only the Mets. Yes, yes, Mr. Calvi?
Well, because it plays into my big theme of the evening that I wanted to touch on. Because,
which
yes.
is Parcheesi.
Parcheesi.
Isn't
maybe
tonight Parcheesi night?
No. Tonight we're playing Risk.
Nice.
Because we don't have to be up in the morning.
Much less nerdy.
Much less nerdy yeah. than Parcheesi.
Yeah.
Now, my theme is similar to what you're talking about, but... And it's funny because I was talking about this yesterday. I brought up the same thing that you just said, how they were two outs away from sweeping Atlanta and all of the goodwill that would have come with it, and then they went and lost 4 out of 5 from that, right? And lo and behold, what happens? In a span of 16 hours, they win 2 games against Oakland. They
doesn't
get
count.
Listen. They're back to 1 game under .500. They're within 4 or 5 games of the wild card. They get good news on David Wright today.
Yes.
Who has been cleared to resume baseball activities. And just like that, things are starting to look up again for them. And here's where I'm going with this. It's a friggin' roller coaster with this team. They will not go one way or the other. And it's driving me mad.
Yeah. You almost want them to either, you know, as Mike Tyson once famously said, fade into Bolivia.
Exactly.
Or you know, get over the 500 mark, knock it off, and be competitive for a wild spot.
Go off the track or soar with the Eagles.
Wow.
Yeah, one or the other.
I'm going to go ahead and do this.
Calstradamus.
Because I think it called for it. That was I think anytime we have a bit of poetry from you, either go walk the track or soar with the Eagles. Brian
exactly.
Calvi. Six,
no, not go six. Walk the track.
What did you say?
Go off the track.
Oh, go off. That's even better.
Wouldn't that make more sense than go
it
walk
does.
The track?
It does.
Yeah. Oh, off the track or soar with the Eagles.
But isn't walking the track sort of a slow sort of thing that, like...
No, but they're staying on the track at that point.
So the key here is getting off the track.
Going off, derail.
Gotcha. My bad.
You know? Or, you know, soar to heights that only you can soar to. I think that was from The Graduation, one of the second... I got that from the second grade principal.
So...
seemed appropriate.
Circle. So, I totally agree. I think one thing we found out in this interim here, Cal, about Jose Reyes. First of all, Buster only. Holy mackerel. Buster only.
You sure took him to task, huh?
I had to, just because, you know, Jose Reyes was the lead story on Baseball Tonight, the lead story on MLB, their nightly baseball show. He was the lead story on ESPN News. All about how can the Mets keep him? The Mets can't keep him. They can't keep him. They can't keep him. Can't keep him. They should trade him. You know, and then they had Buster Olney on, you know, who tweeted, not for nothing, just saying, if the Mets don't want to meet Jose Reyes' price, he'd be a perfect heir to Derek Jeter in New York. Like, really? Really? And so we had a bit of sanity out of all people, going rogue Brian Cashman, who said today, Jose Reyes is not going to be a Yankee. We got a shortstop. We're paying him $15 million a year for the next 3 years. So,
but again, the Brian Cashman honesty has been the best ongoing story of this season.
Yeah, exactly. Brian Cashman, once again, sort of going rogue, like not even putting the Yankees in the mix. You know, Jose Reyes agents, you know, Greenberg was like, really? That you're out that quickly? We can't get the Yankees involved in this?
As he's saying that, Steinbrenner's doing a spit take somewhere.
Right.
Like he's drinking his coffee. He's like,
what? We're out on Jose Reyes? Get me Cashman? So, you know, you had it as the lead story everywhere. Jose Reyes says, I'm not going to discuss my contract in season. We've seen this before, by the way, in the Mike Piazza contract situation with the Mets from a number of years ago, where Mike Piazza said he would not discuss it in season. And lo and behold, Mike Piazza signed with the Mets.
Yeah, but Steve, what happened when Jose Reyes said he wouldn't discuss his contract in season? What was the headlines? What did we see?
He's gone. Tim Smith wrote he's gone.
He's gone. No way, Jose.
No way, Jose.
He saw, yeah.
Jose, can you see the money? Which was a personal favorite.
I like that. Yeah, like all of it, like what he said was such a shock and a diss to the Mets.
Yeah, I mean, if you're Jose Reyes at this point, you're having the year of your life. Of your life.
Not to mention the fact that everybody was imploring Sandy Alderson to have the conversation with his agents. Sandy Alderson, you're crazy if you don't bring this up with
right.
the agents, you know? So then he brings it up with the agents. They say, no, we're not going to discuss it in season. And now all of a sudden, he's just, you know, smacked down the Mets.
Right. And it's Alderson's a fool to bring it. Like, oh, like he's really going to sign that extension. You just yelled at Sandy Alderson for 6 months, you know, for 3 months to have the conversation with Jose Reyes. And his age, you know, it's just ridiculous. But look, let's move on to the Yankees and other baseball. But to close with the Mets, good news on David Wright. I wonder how they're going to spin this tomorrow. But David Wright cleared to resume baseball activities. Terrible news about Ike Davis, Cal. This is really bad.
Yeah, I mean,
what's going on with the hospital for special surgery, really? Really?
Know.
Like, did they go to clown college? My brother texted me today. He's like, I have this visual of them with, like, the huge hypodermic needle. Like, the big stethoscope. Like, what is going on at the hospital for special surgery?
I don't know.
And this is not a rinky-dink place, folks. Now,
a fly-by-night operation.
No, for those of you who don't know, the Mets are affiliated with the Hospital for Special Surgery here in New York. It's a world-renowned facility, and the Mets have had all sorts of problems with the misdiagnosis of injuries. You want to hear the kicker, Cal?
Yeah.
My buddy that I was talking about before, the big Met fan, we were talking about it. I used to play baseball with him. He tells me that they misdiagnosed his arm.
Really?
Yes. And that for a year they had him doing rehab. They
on
finally on his arm, right? On his, I almost didn't catch that.
Doc, my arm is hurting. Well, here,
yeah.
Put this ice on your knee.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I thought David Wright was going to come back today, and they were going to say that it was his rotator cuff all along. They found out today it wasn't his back. But they misdiagnosed his arm, Cal.
It's weird.
They say it turns out he has a torn labrum with a bone spur mixed in. And for a year they've been telling him, no, it's just like it's just a strain. You can do rehab, and it'll get better. Now he needs surgery. A year he wasted rehabbing.
That's crazy.
Because he texted me, you know, what's up with the blah, 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 hospital for special surgery, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, I just got a diagnosis on my arm. And I wrote back, like, hospital for special surgery, like as a joke. He's like, yes, it was. So, but obviously the Mets are under contract to them. They can't change.
Well, do you think that, and I'm being totally serious here, do you think they have a problem with athletic injuries? They are a renowned facility for surgery.
Right.
World renowned. Yet every athlete that goes there comes out worse than they were when they went in, including, you know, amateur athletes like your friend. We're not just talking professional. I mean, maybe there's something going on where they just can't put their finger on athletic injuries. I don't know.
If you were going to check off a box that said, you know, diagnoses 1 to 5, one, they're not good at diagnosing the problem.
Needs improvement.
Needs improvement. Well, let's stick with the kindergarten theme. Exactly. The prognosis negative. That's a famous Seinfeld movie there. I'll take Seinfeld movies for 1,000, Alex. Can you think of another Seinfeld movie?
Rochelle.
Well done. Well done.
Is there another one?
It doesn't capture the complexity of the original. Chunnel, that's right. Pop culture PJ chimes in. Chunnel is another one. Seinfeld movies. Prognosis negative. So anyway, David Wright is back. He's, you know, cleared to resume baseball activities, which is great news. They took 2 out of 3 from the A's. They should have taken 2 out of 3 from the Angels.
Yes.
But they're 3-3 on this homestand, and now they go. What, they go on the road?
They're gonna go to Texas.
That's
and
right.
Detroit.
They go to Texas. So they have coming up the Rangers in Texas.
Yes.
Detroit in Detroit.
Yes.
Then they're home for the Yankees.
Yes.
For 3 games. Then they go to
Los Angeles.
Then they go on a West Coast swing.
Right, and then the All-Star break.
The Dodgers. And do they have the Giants?
The Padres.
Or the Padres.
I think they do the Dodgers and the Padres, and then the All-Star break.
Not easy times.
No. So maybe they'll go off. They'll go walk the track now.
They'll go walk off the track.
Maybe. I don't know.
Let's just combine it. Walk off the track.
Walk off the track. I just want them to go one way or the other. That's my theme right now. Is they're driving me crazy.
Especially before the trade deadline, because I think yeah. Vol sort of said that they're not going to trade Jose Reyes. I can't see them trading Jose Reyes. I really can't. I mean, unless things go radically wrong and they get blown out of the water.
I'd be surprised.
I would be shocked if they traded Jose Reyes. I think they'll wait till the offseason. They'll make an earnest effort to try to sign him. And when the, you know, whoever, the Detroit Tigers come screeching in with 7 years and $150 million, that's where he'll go. And the Mets will take the 2 draft picks. But we'll see. It's going to be an interesting time for the Mets coming up. They're 1 game under .500 again with this. Managia Mingya again. Either get over it or go way under it. I've had enough.
One way or the other. I mean, really, I would rather them lose 10 in a row than do what they've been doing for the last 6 weeks.
Right. Ham Capuano pitches a brilliant game today, pitches real well, leaves with a little tweak. I'm sure he'll probably be out for the season.
Right.
R.A. Dickey pitches a great game yesterday that they should have won in not extra innings. But K-Rod blew another save. Hey, if K-Rod goes, Cal, I'm not that upset.
No, he's been really good this year except for the last couple of games.
Stinks. Stinks. He said it himself.
He did admit that.
He said it last night after the game. He said, I'm going to sound like a fan here. I got to get my head out of my ass. That's what he said.
That's what he said. I don't think you can say that.
I can say ass, I think.
Well, it's 10 o'clock. You're right. You can.
10 o'clock. 10:02. I'm clean. So, Cal, let's move on to the Yankees.
Oh, the Yankees. Yankees, Yankees.
The Vos.
All they do is win.
The Varsity. They're having their way with the NL Central there.
They really are.
Yeah. Well, they took 2 out of 3 from the Cubs, yes?
Took 2 out of 3 from the Cubbies. They took 2 out of 3 from the Reds.
From the Reds.
They did not play today. They had the doubleheader yesterday.
Right. They're off
today. They split.
They're off today. And, wow, Pop Culture PJ has just listed. Why don't you come on the air here and read these to us? Pop Culture PJ has the list of Seinfeld movies. See, come on.
Prognosis negative, of course. Chunnel. Rochelle. Who could forget Checkmate.
All right.
Death Blow. Who delivered the final death blow?
Who delivered the final death blow? Right.
Firestorm. Blimp, the Hindenburg story.
Magnificent.
Sack Lunch. Do you remember Sack Lunch?
I don't remember
what I
didn't Sack
know.
Lunch.
Sack Lunch. Cry Again.
I remember that.
Brown Eyed Girl.
I remember that.
The Other Side of Darkness.
And Ponce de Leon.
Oh, and The Pain and the Yearning.
The Pain and the Yearning.
Agent
Zero.
Oh, my gosh. There's a ton of them.
Mountain High and Blame It on the Rain.
Blame It on the Rain. Didn't the Ponce de Leon one, like, spur the whole, if you were an explorer, who would you rather be? wasn't that like a moment between Jerry and George?
That's a question.
I think I'd go with Magellan. Magellan. Circumnavigate
right.
The world, baby.
Magellan.
I'm going Ponce de Leon. Well done, Peach. Thank you. Rochelle still cracks me up. Deathblow was the one that he pirated, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so.
Kramer, look, Jerry wants to pirate the movie. He's dying to pirate the movie. He wants to shoot the movie. He's dying to shoot the movie. That was one of many Seinfelds that had sort of like, what's the word? Like stand-up comedians that were buddies of his.
Yes.
You know, that like he threw a bone to, Mario Joyner or Dom Irrera. You remember Dom Irrera was the prop comic.
Mario Joyner needing all the help he can get.
That's correct.
Mario Joyner taking any gig.
Yes, any gig, exactly. But he had on all of the New York stand-up guys. I remember Dom Irrera was the prop comic. Tommy, the prop comic. Thank you, PJ.
Okay. I'm getting out of here.
Changing the name of the show to Death Blow.
Or Channel.
Or Channel. So the Yankees, that AL East race is shaping up, Cal, to be fantastic. Here's my question to you. It's actually twofold. You know, Derek Jeter's been on the shelf. Edwin Nunez has stepped in, and they have not. Eduardo?
Edwin Rodriguez.
No. Nunez. The shortstop that stepped in for the Yankees here.
Eduardo.
Eduardo Nunez has stepped in. Yankees haven't really missed a beat, and I think Jeter's due back maybe Friday?
Jeter is due back for the last two games at Yankee Stadium, so that would be...
Wow, this question is haunting you. You got very upset there.
I did, because...
You sighed, you put your hand in your head. Your head in your hands.
He'll be back for Citi Field.
Right. So that would be next Friday.
Yeah, he'll be back. He's two games before. Wherever they go next week, I forget where they go.
I think it's next. It's got to be next Wednesday and Thursday because the Mets and Yankees play Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Right. Could it be Pittsburgh?
It could be.
I think the Pirates come to town.
Right. And then they go to play the Mets in Citi Field.
Right, so Jeter is, they made a big deal about the fact that he could get his 3,000th hit.
Now, how do you feel about that? Right, he could get his 3,000th hit at Citi Field. He's six away, right?
Yeah.
How do you feel about that? We didn't get to talk about that, and I wanted to. How do you feel about it, Brian?
How do I feel?
That's what I just said several times.
meh. Is that how the kids...
Does it bother you?
Nah, it does not, really. It really means nothing to me. You know why? Because I saw Derek Jeter win a World Series at Shea Stadium. So anything after that, really, the impact has been dulled.
All right, question, though. What if they stop the game?
I don't believe that that's necessary. I think a simple acknowledgement on the Cititron would be fine.
Did you just made up that name?
I did. That's what we're going with.
Nobody calls it Cititron.
No, and that's not going to catch, I know, but...
That is definitely... Zoom, zoom, zoom.
That's definitely
not... Zip, zap, rap. That is not going to catch up.
I think just acknowledge the fact that Derek Jeter is the 20-something player to achieve the 3,000-hit milestone.
First Yankee.
You're not going to put that up there. You're just
being specific about what you want on the scoreboard.
Yeah, no, I'm authoring the message that should go up on the Cititron.
Please do.
All right. Congratulations, Derek Jeter, on becoming the 20-something, whatever it is, player to achieve 3,000 hits. Congratulations, Derek. Not Jeter. Derek.
Calstradamus.
You're walking a fine line with that.
Is that? Well, no. That was almost a prediction. I mean, that was a quatrain.
Yeah, well. What do you think?
I think, by the way. I'm
going to start asking you questions.
By the way, is that right after he hits a game, go-ahead double in the ninth inning of K-Rod? Is that right after he hits the bases clearing double that puts the Yankees up 5-4?
It's a 3-2 game. Runners at second and third, two outs.
No, do you want to bet 4-2 game?
4-2 game. I like that.
4-2 game, bases loaded, two outs, off K-Rod.
It's an 0-2 count.
Bases clearing double. 5-4 right. Yankees, captain standing on second base with his 3,000th hit.
You know what I'd like to see? I'd like to see Jason Prydy maybe misplay the ball, and then the drama of a figure, is it an error or is it a hit?
Right. And
really draw it out.
That's awesome. And then the Citi Field scorekeeper has the choice. And make that on Sunday night, of course. Make that on the last game of the series, ninth inning. He's gotten 5 hits in the series. And the Citi Field scorer has the option of giving him his 3,000th. Ooh, I like what you've done here, Cal.
I like that one. It's Red Smith, right? Red Smith.
It is. It is Red Smith, I believe. The official scorer at Citi Field.
It was Red Smith.
I believe Red Smith has passed on.
Yeah, it was.
He is no longer with us?
No, so he won't be making the decision. But whoever
we apologize to Red Smith and his family. That would be magnificent.
Dramatic.
Here's my thing.
Tell me what you think.
I have a big problem with it. If they do the stop the game, give him the ball. If they make any bigger deal out of it, they're going to give him the ball. That's fine.
What if they wheel out a podium?
I will have a big problem if they go all Tim Brown versus the Jets in that game when Tim Brown brought his mother out onto the field in the middle of the game.
Right. Like if Yankee legends are conveniently on hand to come out with gifts.
Let's welcome. Please turn your attention to center field. Now coming onto the field, let's welcome Paul O'Neill.
And then the organist is playing some zippy tune.
I would have a problem with that. No, give me a scoreboard. Congratulations, Derek Jeter, on becoming the 27th player to get his 3,000th hit, just like you said. And that's it. Move on. Let's go. Keep the game going. Then I don't care. Then who cares? But if the Mets do something that the Yankees would never do, okay, ever, for the Mets.
Or any team, really, for that matter.
That's where I have a problem. Yeah, no, there's certainly not, you know, but there's other teams that they would give a little more, a little more love to. They're not going to do it for the Red Sox. They're not going to do it for the Mets. They're not going to do it for a rivalry team. You know, if the Cubs happen to be playing an interleague game or something I can't think of a Cub that's going to get 3,000 hits. All right, whatever. You know, they'd give a little something.
Okay.
If it was a Met, it's David Wright in 10 years.
He's going to be a Met in 10 years?
I know, he's going to be lucky if he's a Met by October.
He'd be lucky if he's even playing ball in 10 years with all this diagnosis.
Yeah, exactly, with the hospital for surgery on your side. How about that for a bad commercial?
Wow.
Hospital for Special Surgery. We hope you're playing in 10 years.
We're on your side.
I think that's an unbelievable race, though, shaping up, Cal. Like, we're about 70 games in here, right?
More. The Mets today are 37 and 38, so there's 75 games.
75 games in. We're almost at the halfway point.
Next week, yeah.
These teams. And the most interesting race to me, Cal, has been what's happened with the Indians. I have no idea what to make of the Indians.
It's crazy. You know what's even crazier is that I heard a stat last night. Minnesota on June 1st was 16 games out of first place.
Yeah.
Where are they now? I don't know if you're looking at it.
I'm not.
They're about 6 games out, 6 or 7.
Wow. And the Tigers are a game back.
The Tigers are right there. The White Sox are in the mix. And even the Royals in last place, I think, are only like 8 games out.
Yeah. The Indians started out like a house of fire. We were all doubting it. We were all I think everybody was. I think everybody felt that their pitching at some point would collapse.
Right.
And they went through a really bad spell. They've sort of righted the ship a little bit here. But the Indians are a huge surprise. I have no idea what to make of that team. Now, they just got Travis Hafner back last week, which is a huge boost to the clubhouse and to the team.
Right.
Okay, but I have no idea what to make of that team. And then the Yankees and the Red Sox. The Red Sox, who started out, what were they, 1-11 or 2-10?
2-10, yeah.
Or something, and have played 750 balls since then.
Crazy.
So that's going to be a great race. Can you, Cal, can you right now, taking a look at it, can you see anybody else getting the wild card in the American League, or is it the Yankees or the Red Sox again?
It's got to be the Yankees and the Red Sox again, just because they're playing so much better than everybody else.
Does Yankee pitching have a full-on collapse here at some point, Cal?
I don't think so.
It's held up. It's held up.
It's held up good. I don't think so. I think Phil Hughes is actually scheduled to come back at some point, too.
Right. They might get Phil Hughes back. Let's take a quick look at – I'm taking a quick look at the standings, Cal.
Mm-hmm.
The Twins are 8 games back.
They're 8 games back. Yeah, they were 16.
They were
June 1st.
And they were like 18 games under 500 or something ridiculous. Detroit's a game back. The White Sox are 4 – that division's wide open. And then Seattle's only 2.5 back in the West.
Yeah, Seattle's played good all season. They've pitched.
Yep. The Angels are only 3 back, and Oakland at 34-42 is only 6 back because the Rangers are 40-36. So you have teams coming to the midway point here. It's very interesting. The mediocrity reigns supreme in the National League, Cal, where the Mets at 37-38 are, Philadelphia's running away and hiding at 47-28. Gee whiz. Yeah.
They're clearly the best team in baseball.
Yeah. Gosh, they're tough. That's tough.
They're better than Boston, I think.
That's a tough gig. And how about that's the Nationals, who won today, again, right?
Mm-hmm.
Won 1-0. Have won 10 of 11.
Right.
Have gotten a game over 500.
Right.
Have won 3 in a row and 10 of 11. Their manager, Jim Riggleman, decides today, you know what? I've had it. I'm not happy that you didn't give me the extension. I'm leaving.
What, Steve Summers resigned today?
That's correct. He did not even believe it. I apparently I've made Jim Riggleman a 72-year-old Jewish man from Queens.
What with the Nationals and the resigning even? What
with
no
extension with them? Cal, Jim Riggleman resigns after the Nats are playing. What is this? Is this a case of having the worst timing?
No. Do you know what happened?
Tell me.
Okay, so here's what happened. Before the game, Jim Riggleman marches into the office of Mike Rizzo, the general manager of the Nationals, and he says, we've been talking about my extension. You know, my contract is up at the end of the year. I'm looking for an extension, or I want his option picked up for next year. That's what it was. I want to know if my option is going to be picked up for next year. And they keep messing around with him, and they won't commit to it. And so finally he says, all right, well, here's the deal. We're leaving to go on the road after the game. If my contract is not extended by the end of the game, getting on the bus. I swear to you, Steve. If my contract is not extended by the time we leave to go on the road, I'm not getting on the bus, and I'm leaving, and I'm resigning. They didn't extend the contract.
And he called his bluff.
And he just up and left. He quit. It's crazy.
Wow. I don't even know where to file this.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, there's a lot of opinions on it.
He should give Pete Best a call. wow.
The majority of the opinion that I see have really taken him to task for quitting on a young team.
Yeah.
You know? Playing its best baseball. He quit on them. And they really, you know, good luck finding another job ever, Jim Riggleman. That seems to be the big – that's where most people are leaning. But then you have a lot of people that are saying, good for him. You know, he felt like he wasn't being respected by management. They were never going to give him the extension. So he just, you know, he called their bluff and he left. I don't know where to go with it, to be honest with you. How do you look at it?
Here's where I'm going to go. Apparently, Shelley Long was one of his main advisors in this. What is this, the Old West?
Shelley Long.
I mean, did he push a piece of paper across the table? I'm thinking of a number. And if you got to be kidding me.
Idiot.
Sorry, Cal. That's just, I understand standing up for your principles and stuff like that. But what's the old saying? A bird in the hand is worth two in the bush without getting filthy or whatever. You got a job.
I don't think that's it.
Yeah, I don't think so either. But you have a job. I know.
Like, why now? This is like the worst possible timing. I mean, I guess his thinking is what? We're playing, we can't play better than this. So if I'm ever going to get an extension, it's going to be now while we're playing great.
Well, but you know what? That was the other thought was keep winning and this will play out for you.
Exactly.
You know, you'll get your extension.
Exactly. You can't let like 15 or 18 games, you know, where you have a nice, like, what are they, like 15 and 3 or something like that.
It's better than nice. They've been
red hot. No, they've been great or whatever. But you're talking about at best, Cal, it's a 25 game sample size.
Right.
You know, the guy lost 93 games last year.
Yeah. Oh, this was the best. Mike Vaccaro of the New York Post, he had a great tweet. He says the next job that Jim Riggleman gets, he will immediately have to go on a 162 game winning streak to just be 500 for his career.
He will have to have an undefeated season.
Right, and then he'll be 500 for his career.
And then he'll get to 500 as a manager. No, I mean, this is what I'm saying. We're not talking about, you know, Leo DeRocher here. I mean, your team has had a nice run here of 25 games. You got a super young team. You got Steven Strasburg probably coming back maybe at the end of this year, but definitely next year. You got Bryce Harper in the minor leagues, the best prospect ever. Mm. Okay, Roy Hobbs is going to play him in the movie. All right. You have everything set up for you here, and your team's playing great ball. If you continue to play great ball, guess what? That extension is a no-brainer. Why would you lay all your cards on the table like that?
And a lot of people are
And he's
saying,
a young man, Cal.
He's 58 years old.
Yeah, it's not like he's an old guy.
No. A lot of people that know him say this is a real departure from what you'd ever expect him to do.
He seems very calm.
It's weird. So something's up.
Something.
I think there's more to this story than
yeah,
than
maybe
the CI.
Only the Mets. Oh wait, what's that?
Only the Mets.
Wait, this is the Nationals?
La 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 da 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 da. It's, you know. It's ridiculous.
Cal and I have decided that every time the Mets are talked about in the media, there should be a little monkey with symbols, like a mechanical monkey that goes across the screen on the bottom.
Right. And circus music and jugglers on unicycles come out.
That's right.
And it's, you know.
And Mr. Met walking a tightrope with a pole. Spandex. Well, that's upsetting.
It's ridiculous, you know.
But, I just wanted to see one tweet where somebody acknowledged that, like, things actually go ridiculously wrong with other teams.
Yeah,
like,
no,
honestly.
It doesn't happen.
Right. Like, one Met writer just say, wow, you thought the Mets were dysfunctional. This guy went in like he was in the Old West in a saloon and basically said, you feel lucky, punk, and got his bluff called and didn't get on the bus.
No.
Whatever.
They said it was a raucous atmosphere in the Nationals locker room after the game because they won a big game again, and then they were told that their manager resigned.
Wow. Good job, fellas. And they won like a 1-0 game today, like a tight
game. It was a walk-off 1-0 win.
A walk-off win.
their 10th win in the last 11 games. It's just...
bizarre. Only the Mets.
Yeah.
Cal, real quick, just lastly on the Yankees, one other thing I wanted to touch on, and then you're apparently going to this. We got Pop Culture PJs coming up a little later with a pop culture type fun load, and you're going to tell us about the NHL draft party we're going to with the Islanders.
Excited about that, yeah.
You should be. But one last thing with the Yankees, Cal. I've seen a lot of talk and speculation about what the Yankees are going to do when Derek Jeter returns, as far as where he goes in the lineup. Does he go right back to the leadoff spot? He wasn't playing that well when he left, you know, when he got hurt. Is there turmoil that's going to come around the Yankees when he comes back? I mean, everything for the last, like, you know, week or 10 days or so since he's been out has been really sort of quiet.
Yeah, and they just keep winning.
Right. And they're 13 games over 500. They're a half game out of first place. You know, they're right there with the Red Sox. Does Derek Jeter and the chase for 3,000 and the whole thing, does it upset the apple cart a little bit?
No. I think everything is fine until he gets that 3,000th hit. And then you might start to see some changes if he doesn't continue to hit.
Right.
I don't think they're going to do anything before that. He's only six hits away, so it's a couple of games.
Right. And then the other thing you got to really wonder, Cal, as we hit the midway point with in Major League Baseball, is who's going to be buyers, who's going to be sellers. Obviously, as guys who follow the Mets, we've seen a ton of this. But from the Yankee perspective, they got to get an arm. I mean, there's no way around it. They have to get a starting pitcher.
Is there any available?
Well, that's the thing. You're looking at the standings, Cal, and this is why the idea of trading Jose Reyes right now, or when we see the call to trade Carlos Beltran right now, is idiotic. It's foolish. You wait until as close to the deadline as possible for a team that didn't think they were contending to be contending, because they're going to give up more for that player to push them over the edge. The team that's surprised that they're in it.
Right.
And you're going to get more from them, like the Seattle Mariners, like even the Washington Nationals. Now, if you're the Mets, Cal, do you have a problem dealing with the Washington Nationals, or do you send Carlos Beltran there for a year?
To the Nationals?
Let's say the Nationals it gets to July 25th, and they're 10 games over, and they're right there in the wild card hunt.
Right.
You have a problem sending, and you're two games under, and you're eight back of the wild card hunt. You have a problem sending Carlos Beltran there?
Not to the Nationals, no.
No, you don't, right?
No. I would have a problem sending him to the Phillies, though.
I have a huge problem sending him to the Phillies. If I was the Mets, I would never do anything to help the Phillies unless they're offering me, you know, Dominic Brown.
Right.
You know, unless it's such a ridiculous deal. And you know, Ruben Amaro doesn't make those kind of deals.
Or if there was a Philly tied to the railroad tracks. I think I would try to save the Philly at that point. Right?
I guess.
I'm throwing out scenarios.
I did not see that coming.
No, it's just a scenario because, you know, As an evil villain stands there twirling his mustache.
Yeah. Mr. Met. And,
no, not Mr. Met, because we're going to save the, you know, we're going to save the Philly.
I see.
Here, we'll do it the other way. Mr. Met is going to save, well, no, the Philly fanatic, we'd let the train go.
Yes. But feathers were, everywhere.
Right, but if it were a Philly.
An actual
player. Shane Victorino.
Shane Victorino. No, but I would have no problem dealing with the Nats, Cal. It's going to be really interesting, and we're going to – obviously, we've done this last year. We're going to do it again this year. We do the trade deadline show, which is just good times.
Those are fun, yeah.
The trade deadline show, which we'll do right around July 31st for obvious reasons, considering that's the trade deadline.
It falls on a weekend this year too, which is nice.
I'm right. We may have to do a special victims unit. I don't know what that means. I don't know why I reference Law and Order.
SVU.
But no, Cal, there's going to be a ton of teams. That the Pittsburgh Pirates are 37-37, for goodness sake.
Yeah.
What if
they're
the Pirates are
only a few games out?
And they need a Carlos Beltran. They need a K-Rod. Well, they have Hanrahan. I cannot see that guy without quoting Slapshot. I can't. Can't do it. Can't not see the closer for the Pirates without saying his name just like that. Hanrahan.
I don't know what do you think the Yankees are going to do? Do you think they're going to make a move before the deadline? Are they okay? But where are they going to look? Are they okay with Nick Swisher in right field? Are they going to try to upgrade out there?
Would you trade Beltran to the Yankees?
I would.
What do you want?
I would have no. Who do I want back?
For 2 months of Carlos Beltran.
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to get a lot back.
Not going to get a lot back.
But I would have no problem trading him there.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. That wouldn't bother me as much. I don't know why. The only place it really bothers me to send Beltran is the Phillies. I'd love to send him to the Red Sox. Love to do that. That would be nice.
Yeah, but I don't think the Red Sox are going to need him either.
They could always use it. Just keep them from going to the Yankees. The point is this. Whether you're a buyer or a seller, too many teams are still in it right now. It's foolish to trade somebody right now. Wait till they're
desperate. Right now. Right.
Wait till they're desperate. Wait a month.
And a lot can happen in a month.
Exactly. Wait a month. See who's desperate. You're liable to get more. See Jeff Bagwell for Larry Anderson.
Right.
You know, a team that's surprised that they're in it. Anyway, Cal, I want to move on before we bring the Bishop, Pop Culture PJ, back in for a little fun load action. What is this? What could you be doing? You're going to the NHL Islanders draft party?
Yeah, so listen to what they do. They've been doing this for a couple of years.
I want
to
hear.
It's the first time I'm going. But the Nassau Coliseum opens up their doors to the Islander fans. And you go in, and it's free. You just show up. I think you pay for parking. But you just show up. And what they do is it's kind of like a gathering. They lower the scoreboard down so you can, everybody can see it. And they broadcast the NHL draft live. Now, the year 2 years ago, when they started it 2 years ago when they had the number one pick, and I think there were like 10,000 people there. There was the year that they took John Tavares number one overall. But that's what they do. It's, you know, the doors open at 5 o'clock and there's all kinds of interactive games. It's real family friendly. The players are there doing interviews and signing autographs and interacting with the fans. They do some contests. They do a huge memorabilia sale. And then the main event is they put the draft, the coverage of the NHL draft, live on the scoreboard for everyone to see. And the Islanders have the number 5 pick in the draft, so they're bound to get another good player. But it's just kind of like a little bit of a rally for Islander fans. And the last two that they've had have been real, real popular. So figured I'd check it out and see what it's all about.
Well, I love this idea. And this comes on the heels of a big press conference here. And look, we're going to talk Islanders for a couple of minutes. And if you don't like it, well, you know, go scratch. We'll make it fun. No, but seriously, this comes on the heels. This is very important to Brian and I. We grew up as Islander fans, and we did an entire show about what to do if your team ever leaves. And Brian and I are in real danger of having a team that we love, that we grew up with, actually leave. And that's never happened for us before, and we don't want it to happen. And if the Islanders – and this is not some impassioned plea or anything like that. We just want to talk about it for a sec. Because the Islanders had a very big have a very big vote coming up on August the 1st on whether they're going to get a new arena. That is their problem right now. They do not – they play in the oldest building in the NHL. They have been trying to get a new arena for 10 years. Lots of problems with the county of Nassau, where the Nassau Coliseum is. They've come up with the latest plan, Cal. I think yesterday's meeting, or was it today? Yesterday. Yeah, yesterday, because I was actually tweeting or copying the tweets and sending them to my brother, Chris Botta's tweets. Chris Botta, who covers the Islanders. But very interesting where Charles Wong, the owner of the Islanders, and Mangano, the superintendent?
Nassau County executive.
Executive. Who are really behind this new plan, had a meeting. They basically said that a lease is going to be signed. This is huge news. They said that the taxpayers will get 11.5% of every dollar spent for everything, not just hockey. And this is going to come down to the taxpayers of Nassau County having a vote on August the 1st. It's a special referendum vote where they can basically vote in a new Coliseum. Or at least vote in the acceptance of the lease. It would still have a long way to go, but it would go a long way towards the Islanders staying on Long Island.
Right.
Here's the thing, Brian. I love this idea of this draft party tomorrow night. There's been a lot of goodwill around the Islanders from a team aspect because they went out and did, from a hockey standpoint, what they were supposed to do. Everything short of locking up John Tavares long term, which the rumor has it they're about to do that as well.
Right.
And take him off his rookie contract. But they locked up Kyle Okposo. They locked up Michael Grabner, who has a strong chance to be a Calder Trophy winner. I don't know.
He did not win.
He did not win. He was a finalist for the Rookie of the Year. They locked him up long term. They made a real commitment to these guys beyond 2015 when the lease expires. Bri, all that being said, how are you feeling? You saw the meeting. You read Newsday, Long Island's newspaper. How do you feel that the town hall meeting that they had yesterday went over?
I feel like it went well. I feel like they've got a real shot at getting this referendum passed for the new arena. There are a lot of Islander fans out there, and you don't really hear from them too much, but they're there. And if the team is good, they come out of the woodwork and they're fanatical. You know, when they're not good, you still have a lot of them, and that's what you'll see. Like, that's what I'm expecting to see tomorrow night, is the real diehard fans. I don't think you're going to get too many casual fans just showing up at the Nassau Coliseum on a June night, to watch.
You might, though. I mean, you might get a lot more fans this year, Cal. You might get a lot of people bringing families. Like you said, it's real family friendly, and there's a good feeling about that the team right now, because they're doing all these things and because they've never been closer to actually getting a new arena.
Right.
You might see the casual Islander fan with the family come out for the night for something that's cheap. You know, meet Mike Bossy, meet Billy Smith. Well, Billy Smith probably won't be there. He'd probably be hacking somebody in the crease with a stick.
No, but you meet John Tavares. You meet
you meet the current
Poso.
You meet. I think that there's a good buzz around this team.
Good buzz around this team.
And they're being unbelievably transparent with this deal. You can't be more transparent than they're being with this deal. They're telling the Nassau County taxpayer everything up front. This is what it'll cost you. This is what you'll make back on it.
Which is good.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it gets passed. So anyway, have fun. I'd like a see if you – now, okay. So this is a challenge to you.
Okay.
I went out to Arizona and got us a bumper for this radio program.
You did?
All right. There.
I
got it.
Martin Grace, and you're listening to Ready to Unload with Cal and Sandpete.
Now, that really is Mark Grace.
It literally is. I can vouch for
and that. And I went out on a limb, Brian. A far limb. And it wasn't that far. And Mark Grace was more than happy to do it. Can you get us a bumper tomorrow night from an island?
I'll see what I can do.
Past or present? Either one's fine.
Oh, either one is fine? Okay.
Absolutely.
How about future?
It could be – and future. Need a ride?
What if I
–
if I find a kid, like a 10-year-old kid.
Who's really good at hockey.
He's got a jersey on.
He plays for the Kings Park team.
The future Islander.
Yeah.
Hey, this is little Johnny.
This is Johnny Smith from Manhasset. I'm going to be an Islander someday. You're listening to Radio Unload with Cal and Sampede. I don't know why he has such a problem with my name.
That's tough.
You have a torch, right? That's your phone? A BlackBerry torch there? It's got a very good record feature.
I'm gonna give it a shot.
That's your challenge. There is no try.
I'll see what I can do. I'll get somebody. I don't know who I'll get.
I'm gonna go Mr. Miyagi on you. That.
No.
No. No try. Do or do not.
Yeah,
just do.
No, that was in the remake with Will Smith's kid.
That was in the remake.
Yeah, they changed the dialogue.
Just do it. Nike say, just do it. So now, let's, you know what time it is?
What time is it?
Let's welcome in pop culture PJ.
I got to remix that.
You do need to remix that. Why, why was it recorded in a 17,000-seat hall?
There's an incorrect reverb going on there with something, and they are clearly underground.
Yeah, I don't know how you got in all of those people into a bathtub, but you pulled it off.
You know, it's supposed to be very charming because there's the guy in the background going, "Time for a fun load."
It is no doubt charming, but you got to remix that. You have a studio there.
I know. It's a time thing. It's barely got time. Look, I'm sitting here now. I have next to me a glass of 1.5% milk. And
this is your big night?
I'm trying to say I'm comfortable. What I do is I mix the 1% and the 2% and I get 1.5% milk.
But you have to mix it equally.
Yeah, well, 2% is a little thick if you're going to drink it straight, for me. It's a little gluey.
2% is a little thick?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. You must feel like regular milk is like heavy cream. Forget about it.
Yes. Well, I grew up in a house with skim milk, and my mother would cut the skim milk, too.
She would cut the skim milk?
Sure. What is going
on? Was she a milk bartender? What did she cut it with?
I had a little bit of a weight problem. Jeez.
Why? Just put a white crayon in a glass of water and drink it.
That'll do it.
At that point.
Wow. So welcome to the fun load. Sometimes this is about sports. Sometimes it's about pop culture. Sometimes it's about what Cal wore today.
It's it's about mopping. It's a little bit about mopping. I had a little bit of a flood.
You did?
At Dumpling Studios, Room A.
Oh, no.
I don't know if you remember the building exactly, but the building has no gutters.
No gutters.
It has what's known as a Dutch barn roof.
Now, that sounds filthy.
I know.
Did you get... Okay, I'm not... Go ahead. Go on. I'm not touching that one.
You come to Freehold, New Jersey, I'll give you a Dutch darn Dutch barn roof or a Dutch darn roof.
You can't even say it. That's right.
It's a Dutch barn roof, which means the rain comes straight down.
Directly into the house, right along the wall.
It's fine if the windows are closed.
Of course.
But I have a window air conditioner in there right now, which leaves a portion of the window open. And there was a torrential downpour today and yesterday.
All right. It's not as if you have $40,000 or $50,000 worth of equipment in there, so.
No, not at all.
I mean, what harm could rain do? I mean, what's the big deal? Yeah. Why take any precautions?
What could possibly go wrong?
What could possibly go wrong, man?
We only put the place together 6 years ago. You think I would have gotten around to gutters by now? No.
You have a Dutch barn roof.
I have a Butch roof darn, yes.
You have I mean, what's the concern? Okay, before we get to the topic for tonight, Pop Culture PJ.
Yeah, I'm drinking my milk. Go ahead.
As you knock back milk, cut with a little milk. How do you feel about the NBA draft?
I didn't know it was happening. That's how I feel about it.
You're in favor?
No. Living here in my little vacuum over here, I had no idea.
You're in favor?
I mean, I knew they had one.
Right. The Knicks took. Who'd the Knicks take tonight, Cal?
Iman Shumpert,
a guard from Georgia Tech. I think it's a good pick. It's Donnie Walsh's last pick, as Donnie Walsh is leaving the Knickerbockers.
Yes.
As the general manager, and we'll see who the Knicks take, or see who the next general manager of the Knicks is. But this is his outgoing pick, and this is a good pick, Cal. This is a guard that is super athletic, plays a lot of defense, so Mike D'Antoni hates him, obviously. But this was a pick that Donnie Walsh honestly couldn't afford to fan on, and we don't think he did. So anyway, that's what the Knicks did. Peach, I just wanted to get your take on that.
Sure. Everyone wants to know.
Everyone wants to know what you think of the Shumpert kid from Georgia Tech. What do you
think? Let me tell you something. I used to play basketball.
No, you didn't.
So it's, yeah, sure I did.
Oh, you told us you were the Mad Bomber. Yeah, go ahead.
Sure I did. And it's the one sport that I have at least hands-on experience with. One team sport, I should say.
Dutch barn roofing.
Bishop PJ did not play team sports very well.
You don't play well with others. That's on your kindergarten report card.
Well, is it any? I mean, this is why I love the Olympics. The Olympics is individual achievement. I think that that's awesome.
This is the time for what? Individual achievement. Babe Ruth, Ty Cobb, and so on. Pete, what's the fun load topic? Now, we should let everybody know. Brian and I do not have any idea what this topic is.
No.
We're blindfolded right now.
We are not blindfolded.
I am.
That would that's a whole different story. I don't know why you have red ball in your mouth either, but
I just don't want to see it.
He's Dutch barning over there. Leave him alone.
Getting Dutch barned.
I'm Butch roofing.
We have no idea what this is going to be about.
Hold on. Let me take it out of the envelope. All right.
What are we doing, 1940s radio now?
Yeah, Don't push me.
Wait, I'm going to
bring on footsteps.
I'm going to
have footsteps walking through the leaves. Come on, cut it out. Thank you.
Hold on. I'm going to get on my horse.
Someone's entering the room.
Here's the pitch to Ty Cobb.
Thank you.
Is that PJ? What do you got?
Can we do one episode as a 1940s radio drama?
Absolutely.
Okay. I think that'll be awesome. I'll bring in some organ music.
We also have to say every line as if, like, we're double parked.
Right.
Every line has to be. I don't know where PJ is. Where could he have gone? Why would you even be asking that? I gotta go.
That's the only line I can do.
That's it. That's your line.
Yeah.
Right, let's have it already. Gee whiz.
Well, you act like I'm stalling.
Holy potatoes.
It's as if he doesn't really know what it is and he's thinking of one.
It's as if he doesn't have a fun load.
It's as if he was Googling madly with the topic line, interesting things to talk about. And nothing was coming back.
Let's do this. Okay, go ahead.
It's maybe it's a question, maybe it's a topic to throw back and forth. But what I wrote down was best sports figure cameos or unique performance, TV or film.
I like how you have made it a category. You're on the RTU Awards.
Well, no, because I wanted to leave out things like, you know, Dancing with the Stars. That's not the type of appearance that we're talking about here. I'm talking about the range of it would be like, you know, something that borders on very good, Keith Hernandez on Seinfeld. Something that's sort of middling would be Paul O'Neill on Seinfeld. And something that was kind of just throwaway, Derek Jeter and Bernie Williams on Seinfeld.
On Seinfeld. Let's not forget, Danny Tartable? Not Danny
Tartable.
Danny Tartable on Seinfeld.
Oh, no, wait, what's the context of that one? I don't remember that one.
He switched to cotton uniforms.
And he's going to take Danny Tartable to the charity thing, and they wind up driving there or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Forgot about that one.
Wow, the Jeter one I always forget about. I always forget about that.
Yeah, I know.
Mm-hmm.
Where he's working on Jeter's swing because Jeter was so young.
Right. He's a baby.
How about the fact that Roger McDowell actually appeared in the Keith Hernandez one?
That's right. Roger McDowell is the second spitter.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
In the JFK one. All right, so Seinfeld aside.
Seinfeld aside, that could be your rating scale. You can give it a Paul O'Neill or give it a Bernie Williams.
Oh, I like that. All right. So now, and we're talking film and movies.
Yeah, I jotted a couple down that I knew about that through some very quick research a couple of other people had mentioned. And you give it a thumbs down or just throw it around. O.J. Simpson in The Naked Gun, that's more of a performance than a cameo because he was a different character.
O.J. was brilliant.
But he was darn funny, I thought.
How about O.J. in the Hertz commercials? Very solid.
Is portraying himself.
Now,
I didn't include.
I thought Arnold Palmer was better.
Can I ask, so do we need the athlete portraying another character, right? Or as himself is okay too?
The 99% of these are as themselves.
Right, because you know what you get? You get a lot of times in baseball movies.
Mm-hmm.
Ex-baseball players playing fictional guys.
Oh, holy crow. There's about 250 baseball movies.
I'm going to give you, Steve Yeager, is it, in Major League?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't he one of the coaches, Cal? Mm-hmm.
Sure.
I think he's Kip Temple, if I'm not mistaken. But, all right, wow, this is, boy, I'm trying. Give me a Cheers one.
Oh, from Cheers, you had Kevin McHale.
Kevin McHale, right. Oh, my gosh.
You had Louis Tiant. Wade Boggs.
Nothing says comfortable as an actor more than a 7-foot center in the NBA.
He was not bad.
Can we just, do we count Shaquille O'Neal's film career? Speaking of 7-foot centers.
Well,
how about Shaquille O'Neal in Blue Chips as a... sort of a model of himself in Blue Chips.
Well, Shaquille O'Neal played himself on Curb Your Enthusiasm.
That's right. That's
Larry
right.
David took him out of the game.
There's a lot of these.
There's a ton.
Yes. But we want...
How about Joe Namath on the Brady Bunch?
Joe Namath, a classic, Cal. Good job.
I have that written down in large letters. That was like the first one I could think of.
Way to go, classic, Cal.
Like
way to go, classic. We just got a text from Scotty on this topic. He said, you got to throw out there something about Mary, Brett Favre.
Yep.
Sure. That was great.
Sure.
And I'm gonna and while we're there, Brett Favre.
That's a big role. That's a big role for a sports player playing themselves. That's a big one.
Yes. Well, and making fun of his name. But I'm going to throw in, while we're on the... How about Kingpin and Roger Clemens?
Oh,
that
sure.
That was good.
Roger Clemens beats the crap out of Woody Harrelson, right, in the bar in Kingpin.
Roger Clemens was also in Cobb, the Ty Cobb.
Yep, that's right.
Biopic. Obviously not playing Roger Clemens in that one.
Roger Clemens is old.
How about...
That HDH goes far.
1984 Olympian Mitch Gaylord in American Anthem.
Good night, everybody. Thanks.
I don't think Calvin can play.
This is what I'm going to do for that one. You ready? So that. And the winner is Mitch Gaylord in American Anthem.
There it is.
This is Mitch's first RG award. Nominated for,
accepting for Mitch Gaylord is Scott Hamilton.
Accepting for Mitch Gaylord is Janet Jones. Janet Jones, an American Anthem. But
sure.
She's an actress, though. She's not an athlete.
Sure.
How about...
There were a lot of players in The Natural.
Yes.
Old-timers.
There were a couple of ex-players, yes.
Yeah.
Let's get females involved here.
I'd rather not.
Oh, females.
Sure, why not?
Just stick with Dutch Barn.
It never gets old.
It never gets old. No, we're gonna use.
What do you
that
got?
On.
You got some Tonya Harding walk-ons. What do you got?
Now, obviously, Saturday Night Live gets taken right out of the equation, right? You can't do because if it's not, I have to throw Peyton Manning in on Saturday Night Live for his United Way commercial.
That was great.
That is tremendous, and I got to throw Joe Montana in there for the masturbation sketch.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, there have been some sports figures who did some excellent sketches.
Yes.
How about Alex Karras on Webster?
Oh, Cal.
He didn't play Alex Karras, though.
No, but
he's not really
an athlete. That's got to count. I mean, he should get more.
He's a full-time member of a cast in a multi-season show. That is not a cameo.
Oh, right. Right.
So you're saying Bob Uecker also wouldn't count on Mr. Belvedere?
Well, Bob Uecker from Major League.
Bob Uecker.
Is that a cameo, though? He had a pretty
cameo.
Good part.
That's a big part.
Oh, all right. That was a part with Rolf. Yeah, part with Lyons. Okay.
Some would argue that was he could have been up for Best Supporting. Okay. I would argue that he could have been up
for Best Supporting. Don't take that to the bank.
What about Scotty Tex, another great one. He should just call. Okay.
He's got 3 minutes.
Muhammad Ali on Different Strokes. Hello.
Oh, yep. I like that one.
Hey, Gooch.
That's right.
That's the champ.
And who else did a cameo on Different Strokes besides Muhammad Ali?
Another athlete?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. Ray Boom Boom.
He's very tall, and he was an airplane.
Kareem.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
That's right.
And it was a sick, twisted episode where, like, Arnold got mad at he played the teacher, and he got mad at the teacher, and he made up a rumor that the teacher beat him up.
Oh, that's right.
And, like, suddenly the whole episode got, like, real serious because, you know, he's 7 feet taller than Gary Coleman is, and it just looked really mean.
Oh, that's right. You know, you can put that right in the pantheon. With, you know, upsetting Different Strokes episodes.
Right.
Right.
Along with...
Go ahead,
Gordon Jump.
Gordon Jump
your bones. That's what that is.
The Bicycle Shop. Oh, dear. Oh, Dudley. Poor Dudley.
Oh, that show sucks.
Because...
more.
Can I just ask somebody, though, to immediately sing the Mr. Belvedere theme song, please?
Don't know it. Never saw it.
China, never met him before.
There it is.
When he dropped, kicked the jacket, came through the door, no one stares.
Wow.
It goes on.
But sometimes things get turned around and no one cares. Like that.
That's great. Hey, if I name the show, do you think you can name the athlete who appeared on it? Let's try it that way.
Let's do that.
All right, the Jeffersons.
Oh, man.
Big star.
Can you give us the sport?
Baseballa.
Reggie Jackson.
That is correct.
Okay.
Ow. Ding, 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 ding.
Very
we have
good.
No ding,
and
ding. We have no ding, ding sound.
They did a bawdy scene. Where Reggie Jackson was, they're in the locker room and Reggie Jackson's walking around in his towel and Wheezy kept taking a peek. It's 1980s humor. You know,
I remember that. That was bawdy.
That for the 80s, that was real bawdy.
Yeah.
Next.
Who's the boss?
Wow. Oh,
come on.
Oh, I'm surprised at you.
Keep going.
Well, he had supposedly played for the St. Louis Cardinals. Is that correct? Tony Danza's character.
Tony.
Mm-hmm. As it was on everything Tony Danza's ever done, including his Love Boat appearance, when his character's name was Tony as well.
almost as if they're frightened that if they don't name him Tony, he won't answer to whoever's speaking to him.
Right. No, dude, don't cast him as a guy named Henry. He'll never turn around.
Was he Tony in Going Ape?
I believe he was.
Had to have been, right?
He was Tony Banana.
None of the characters had names in Going Ape. It was just
Hey
You.
The ape was Tony.
Yeah, exactly. They weren't even given names. That's how bad that script was.
That's right.
He was an ex St. Louis Cardinal. Like, in his baseball career was cut short for an injury or something.
So it had to be Willie McGee.
No, I don't want to leave you dangling. It was a boxer.
Ray Boom Boom Mancini.
It was a boxer, and Tony made fun of his voice. And he appeared at the door.
Mike Tyson.
Wow. That's right.
Was this pre nutbag Mike Tyson, obviously?
This was yes. This was the Robin Givens years.
Right. You could have Mike Tyson on the show and not fear for your life on the set.
Well, I don't know about that. Mike Tyson also appeared in a DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince video.
Wow. And then, of course, in The Hangover, in what I feel is the best supporting. I'm just giving the best supporting to everybody today. What else?
Everybody gets a statue with you.
That's it. Give it away. This is my first award.
That's beautiful.
He was previously nominated for Who's the Boss?
I think I can beat Mike Tyson by DJ Jazzy Jeff.
Oh, that's right. That's what it was.
It makes for Mike Tyson to appear in that video. What else you got?
Well, on the subject of boxers, can you think of a recent movie where Evander Holyfield made an appearance? You probably can't because nobody saw it. It was the remake of Arthur.
Wow. Speaking of movies, by the way, I saw Super 8.
Oh, how was it?
Interesting. Here's the best way I could describe it. It's Goonies meets Alien meets E.T. So if you like any of those movies, you'll like Super 8.
Goonies meets Alien meets E.T.
It's Goonies times Alien divided by E.T.
So it's terrified children with an endearing undercurrent?
That's correct.
That sounds great.
And there's a, I think your remainder there is Close Encounters.
That sounds like my junior high.
That doesn't make any sense. I think your remainder is definitely Close Encounters.
Yeah.
There's a Close Encounters element there, without a doubt.
Huh.
Yeah, it was good. I'm going to bring the fun load to a screeching halt with that, by the way.
That's great. Movie reviews for movies no one has seen.
I hope that helped. I feel like that was a big help to everybody.
That was good. Let me give you a classic here. Did you know that Babe Ruth appeared in Pride of the Yankees?
Yes, I did know.
1942. I didn't even know it was him. I figured it was an actor.
It was about 20 minutes before he died.
Right. They wheeled him in and dumped him on the stage.
Who was the athlete in Super 8, Steve? Was there one?
Are you asking that? Is that why I brought it up?
Yeah, there's got to be a tie-in, right?
There is. There's no athlete, to my knowledge, in Super 8.
It was Tiki Barber.
It's set in 1979, though, and that's fun. We would see movies from like 1965 and be like, oh, that's that's so long ago. I don't know how to describe it, but 1979, even though I was only 5 years old, like the music and stuff really hit home. The cars and stuff that they're driving, I'm like, wow, I'm getting old. Where this is like a throwback movie.
It's a period
movie, and we were around for that period.
A period movie is one thing, but for you, it was also tapping on some nostalgia.
Yeah, exactly.
Different.
Exactly. It was a period movie that, like, I was in that period.
Right.
that you know, we were in that period. I think you guys will like it. So, Screeching Halt, how you doing?
No, my that's fine, because I'm out of athletes. If you guys don't have any more, we got to move on.
I think Scott took the cake with the Muhammad Ali on Different Strokes.
That was
the cake taker, that guy.
That's seminal. I mean, that to me is bigger than Namathon, the Brady Bunch, because I really don't remember that.
What?
What? Really?
I mean, I remember it. I've seen that episode, but I don't remember watching it live.
We don't.
Well, no, we didn't watch it live, but.
That Gooch, the Gooch Muhammad Ali one, I watched when it was on. That was first run material.
Sure.
I feel like there was a show, and I can't think of the name of it, where an athlete came and signed a kid's cast. Does that sound familiar to anybody?
Well, there's just got to be.
Go on. Try to rebuild it.
No, that's...
Rebuild that memory.
That's the memory that I have in my head, and I can't think, like, the kid's in a hospital bed, and then the athlete shows up.
I think that's Paul O'Neill in Seinfeld.
Exactly, you're right. I'm sorry. That's exactly what I was thinking of.
Yeah, there you go. How did you get in here, he says to Kramer.
And why'd you tell him two home runs?
I'm not talking about stuff like that.
Hard enough to even hit one home run. Why would you do that? I think McDowell's little look, the Keith Hernandez episode has even become a saying, you know, with the sports guy and stuff.
That's tremendous. That's just a great one.
Right. That athletes actually have I'm Keith Hernandez moments now. Where they're like,
how about 1994 Little Big League featuring a cameo by Chris Berman? Great sports casting cameo. Bob Costas has been in everything.
Yes, Bob Costas has any movie that they ask him to. Dan Patrick's been in movies. A lot of sportscasters have done movies.
Dan Patrick was in Grown Ups.
Collect the Check.
Was he really?
Yeah, that Adam Sandler movie with Kevin James and David Spade. He played the operator of a water slide.
Wow. That's typecasting. Scott has another one. And this is a really good one. Joe Klecko in Smokey and the Bandit.
Fantastic. Wow. Oh, that's so good. But wait, does he play Klecko or does he play a truck driver?
He plays a truck driver.
Mm.
But it's still pretty good. It's definitely a cameo, and you know who Joe Klecko is.
Well, that's under the category of unique performance.
That's right. We need to get the Smokey and the Bandit. I need that song. Can we get that song? Can we get 30 seconds of that song?
Smokey and the Bandit?
Eastbound and Down, loaded up and trucking.
How about Cam Neely and Dumb and Dumber?
Cam Neely and Dumber. Well, you can go through the Farrelly Brothers and find, you know, what Tom Brady's in. What's Tom Brady in? Tom Brady's in, Stuck on You, right?
Have not seen.
Tremendously underrated movie, by the way. Kinnear and Matt Damon as Siamese twins.
Should have shared best supporting, according to Steve Van Pietro.
They both could have been nominated.
You see them up on stage holding hands.
I'm telling you, they were robbed.
They turned to each other. This is for you. No, this is for you.
Well, I'm gonna wrap this up. Where did you get the Carol Burnett music?
Well, that wasn't me.
Where they get it? I got that.
And where'd you get that?
Ready to Unload is filmed for a live studio audience.
That is all.
Hey, Mark Burnett, Phil Todd's in production.
That is all the time we have on Ready to Unload this week.
Featuring Lyle Waggoner, Harvey Korman, Tim Conway.
Tim Conway.
And Brian Calvi.
Cal is furiously grabbing his ear right now. That is fantastic.
Now, Vicki Lawrence was a handsome woman.
Incorrect.
That's going to do it. That's all the time we have. Wait, why is that? Okay. There it is.
We may have to wrap the season on that one.
That's right. That is all the time we have for Ready to Unload this week.
By the way, these sliders don't work.
I know. Well, they're a little slow in working.
They don't fade.
That one's good. There you go. That's a nice level. PJ, good topic. Thanks, buddy.
My pleasure, as always. I'm going to go continue mopping.
And by the way, Scotty just threw in Klecko plays himself.
Oh, okay.
He does good. Play himself. So that might be the winner for best cameo.
Yeah, I think so.
PJ, go drink your milk. In
one
your
and a half.
Go Dutch Barn.
Dutch
someone.
Barn. Dutch Barn Roof.
Yep. That's the new band name. Thanks, Peach.
Later.
Brian, final unload, my friend.
My final unload is to Mr. Jim Riggleman. File for unemployment now. $405 a week for the next 52 weeks. Have fun, buddy.
Yeah, I'm gonna do my final unload for Jim Riggleman as well, and simply quote Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. You chose poorly. Join us next week. We'll be back on Tuesday night, Cal. What do you think? Tuesday night?
Yeah, sure.
Excellent. For another episode of Ready to Unload with Cal and Sam P, check out our website, www.rtusports.com. And in the meantime, folks, keep your powder dry. Have a great week. Good night, Cal.
Good night, Steve.